Amen. Praise God. Well, time is moving along, so let me just share a little something with you from God's Word. I've been telling people that this past year I've been working in a junior high school. Who's in junior high school? Raise your hand if you're in junior high. Sixth, seventh, or eighth grade, right? Oh, good. We got some junior highs. I have a special attachment to junior high schoolers. They kind of grow on you after a while. I work in a school in Queens, in New York City. And I have a lot of dealings with a lot of young people. I have four lunch periods. So I stand in the lunchroom when all the kids come in. It's a madhouse when they all come into the lunchroom. Is it like that in your school? I hope not. And then we try to quiet them down. And much to my dismay, they give the microphone to one of the students. Right? He's supposed to be a monitor. And he yells, quiet down, quiet down. Everybody quiet down. Sit down and quiet down. And he does that for about 10 minutes. And it's worse listening to him than it is to listening to all the kids. And then finally the dean comes in and he or she really quiets them down. Finally they get quiet. And then they say, okay, now let's go get our lunch. And then they all get noisy again and they run to the kitchen area and we have to quiet them down and don't cut. He cut me, she cut me. And you got to work with that for a while. Finally, they get their lunch and after they eat, then they send them outside. In our school, the kids love to play basketball. The kids love to play soccer. There's two or three soccer games going on all the time. And they like to chase each other for some reason. I don't know what it is about that age. Someone's always chasing somebody. Why are you chasing them? They don't even know why they're chasing each other, but they got a lot of energy and they got to get it out. So they chase each other. And then I have to get them back into school so they can go back to their class. And that's quite a job, believe me. All right, guys, stop playing basketball. Oh, one more shot. You know, I found out that junior high school students don't know what one more means. One more means five more, 10 more. And then, come on, guys, you got to go in. I even have a whistle. I'm very official. I blow my whistle. Doesn't faze them. So, come on, guys, you got to get in. I'm not fooling around now. Let's go. Finally, I can talk them into going. Sometimes I have to take the ball from them. If I'm fast enough, I can grab the basketball. Or I played soccer in high school, so I can use some of my moves on them and get the soccer ball. And then I say, give me my ball. That's my ball. Well, I'll give it to you when you're in the school. I'll hand it to you. Okay, so that's period one or four, right? Now comes period five. The same thing all over again. And then after that period, the next period, six. And then after that, seven. And then after that, I'm ready to go home. But I still have to stay for another hour and a half or so. But you know the thing that that I don't like to be around among some of these kids, or many of these kids, is they're cursing. I mentioned that this morning, that, boy, I never heard so much cursing as when I went to the public school and I'm around these young people. They curse about everything. They curse when they're mad, and when something good happens, they curse. They just use the curse words all the time. I don't even think they know what they mean or why they say them. And, you know, especially among the young ladies, I don't like to hear anybody curse, but I especially don't like to hear young ladies talking like that. And if there's a young lady that's cursing around me, I'll say, you know, you've got a beautiful face, but a really ugly mouth. And I said, you know, those two don't go together. Your mouth should be as beautiful as your face. And every time I say that, they stop. And they have a funny look on their face. Nobody ever told them that before, I guess. They have a beautiful face, but an ugly mouth. Something's not right here. You know, there's all different types of beauty. There's outer beauty. Most people are concerned about being beautiful on the outside. And then the Bible talks about inner beauty, the beauty on the inside. And it's interesting The beauty on the outside will fade away one day. You should have seen how handsome I was when I was your age. Look at me now. I'm a human object lesson. I'm getting to the place where I have to even cover my face with hair now. You know, you get older, things start to happen, and you try to do the best with what you have, but it can only go so far. But you know, some people, that's all they're concerned about is how they look on the outside. And there's nothing more sad than to see an old person getting plastic surgery and changing this and changing that and trying to look young when they're not. But that's all they got. That's the only beauty they know about. They're trying to hold on to it for dear life. Don't be like that. You know, the Bible teaches us about a beauty that doesn't fade away. As a matter of fact, it's a beauty that increases as we get older. Is that possible? That you can become more beautiful as you get older? Well, that's the inner beauty that the Lord talks about in His Word. And there are a number of places in the Bible where it talks about that inner beauty, being beautiful on the inside. You really can't say you're beautiful unless you're beautiful on the inside. You know, you look at Hollywood actresses and actors, and you look at some of these models, and they are very attractive, many of them. They've really worked hard at it. But sometimes you hear them on TV or on the internet or somewhere, and they start talking, and all the ugliness comes out. They're so arrogant, they're so proud, the language they use, the things they say about other people. And you seem to lose your attraction to them. You say, well, they're pretty on the outside, but on the inside, where it really counts, they've neglected to take care of that part of their life. In Psalms 45, verse 13, the psalmist talks about the king's daughter. And it says that the king's daughter is all glorious within. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a king's daughter. My father's a plumber, or my father is a school teacher, or my father is a mechanic or a carpenter. But, you know, the Bible tells us that we have a heavenly Father. We've been studying the Lord's Prayer in our morning worships here down in Watch Rock. And Jesus taught us that when we pray, we should pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught his disciples that you may have an earthly father, but everyone has a heavenly father. Our earthly fathers are not perfect, but our heavenly Father is. And as a matter of fact, our Heavenly Father is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if your Heavenly Father is a king, then you're a king's daughter. And the Bible says that the king's daughter is supposed to be beautiful on the inside. That's what the king is concerned about. Now, here in this passage, it seems to imply that in her inner chamber, in her secret chamber, where nobody else sees, she makes herself beautiful. She's all glorious within. But that speaks to us about our hearts, the place where nobody sees but God. That's where God wants to make us beautiful. And that's the beauty that gets more and more beautiful as time goes on. When I first came to New York, I had lived in Virginia for a little while. That was the first church that I helped in. And then I was asked to come and help in the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church in New York. And one of my first jobs was to drive the van. And that was something. I had a 15-passenger van, and I had to drive through the streets of New York, and I had to pick up people for church. I used to pick up the kids for Sunday school. I'd pick them up, and I drive them home. And Some of those kids were real rascals. I can think of one little Romanian boy who used to climb under the seats and climb over the seats. And I was so happy to take him home. Even if he lived far away from the church, he was always the first one I took home. And then I would pray, Lord, make him a missionary and send him far away to bless the uttermost parts of the earth. No, I didn't really pray that. I'm sure he's a fine young man right now. But I picked up the children. That was fun. But I also picked up the older people for Sunday night meetings and other evening meetings. And boy, that was something. These people were so sweet. You know, I met a lot of older people that were crabby. Didn't like to be around them. They were always complaining, always telling you what to do, always upset. But these people that loved Jesus, they were so kind and so loving and so sweet. And sometimes in the van when we would drive to church, they would sing songs like, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And they'd talk together, they'd pray together, they'd worship the Lord. And I thought, boy, it's not so bad to get old if you know Jesus. Because there's a glow about these people. There's a beauty that shines from the inside out. And it even outshines the outer beauty. And I just thought of these older saints and how beautiful they are. And how, what a difference Jesus makes in our life. In the book of Peter, I see it's time to close. I'm going to wrap this up. The Apostle Peter talks about to the ladies and says that they should not be concerned about outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles. I've seen a lot of fancy hairstyles at school. Purple hair, blue hair, green hair, short hair, long hair, no hair. Fancy hairstyles. Expensive jewelry, beautiful clothes. You know, sometimes they have cultural day, and the young people are encouraged to dress according to their culture with their different cultural clothes. Some of them are so beautiful, so colorful, and so nice to see. But here Peter says, don't be so concerned about the outward beauty, the fancy hairstyles, the expensive jewelry, the beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty that comes from within, a gentle and a quiet spirit which is so precious to God. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. You know, if we're a king's daughter or a king's son, we want to be beautiful on the inside where God sees. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and God beholds our hearts. That's where he looks for us to be beautiful. And the Bible tells us that holiness is a beautiful thing. Here we have holiness unto the Lord. We sang at other times, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We talked this morning about Jesus was the most holy person that ever lived. And there was a beauty about him. There was something that attracted people to him. It was that kindness, it was that love, it was that gentleness that made even boys and girls want to come and sit on his lap. And people that society had given up on, people that were hated, people that were despised, they felt loved and welcomed, and they were drawn to Jesus because of the beauty of his holiness. And then the psalmist, and I close with this, he gives us a prayer to pray to help us to get beautiful where it really matters. He tells us to pray in Psalm 90, verse 17, let the beauty of our God be upon us. Let me find that for you, and then we'll just pray together, and you from the village can be dismissed. Psalm 90, verse 17. Okay. And let thy work appear unto thy servants, and the glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let the beauty of our Lord, our God, be upon us. That would be a good thing for all of us to pray, whether we're a young lady or a young man or an adult. Father, I know you want me to take care of the outside, and I'll do the best that I can. But that inner beauty, Lord, that's more important. Make that more important to me than the outside. And Lord, put your beauty upon me. Make my heart clean. Make my heart pure. Fill me with your love and your kindness and your gentleness. And Lord, let that beauty shine from my life into the lives of all those that you bring across my path. My mother, my father, my brothers and sisters, my relatives, my friends at school, other adults and people in my life. Let the beauty of God be upon us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your call to holiness. We thank you for the beauty of holiness. We thank you, Lord, that when Jesus comes into our hearts, he begins to make us clean, he begins to make our hearts pure, and he puts his beauty upon us, a beauty that will never fade, that will only grow more and more beautiful as we walk closer and closer to God. Do it for these young ladies while they're here at camp. Every one of them have a certain beauty about them on the outside. But Lord, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's sing as you are leaving, okay? We're going to sing number one in our white book, Oh, Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness. I did my best. Sorry, Beth. Okay, a few minutes over. Praise God. Go with God's blessing, and thank you for coming. We'll see you on Sunday, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again.